Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you to yet another episode of Black Power Radio. I am your host, Sheikh Ali Mem Akbar Abdullah Kareem. We're in the wonderful city of Washington, D.C., and we hope that you're enjoying your happy holiday. And for everybody I didn't say it to, happy holidays to you and to your whole family, your crew, your network. We are, again, Black Power Radio. We've got just an action-packed show for you tonight, and we're going to bring it on strong, and we won't be long, but we are pressed to be strong, and so therefore we're right here giving you more of what you actually listen to Black Power Radio for. And I mean, this is it, man. The 321, the Assembly Bill 3121. We got to know your position on reparations tonight. But now there's another piece out there on the Twitch and the Wick, Kobe, Michael, and Prince. Are we disproportionately in this instant death syndrome? And this is something that we have to look at from, I look at Sam Cooke and Otis Redding. I look at Dr. Mickey Leland and Ron Brown. And I look hard at, I relook at James Brown, Isaac Hayes, and Brian White to see what is it about us to have early instant death syndrome. And this is, to me, a strange phenomenon when we look across the board at entertainers, sports figures, political figures. We've always got to give up the ultimate sacrifice, early instant death syndrome. Is there any substance to there being some pattern to this early instant death syndrome? Some say yay, some say nay. Well, what say ye at this hour? This is the main thing, that we're here in the name of the Almighty, originator of the heavens and the earth, and everybody got a dime in the dove sack, and everybody got a Mac that they can attack. And we just want to know what say ye at this hour for Black Power. What do you say is going on in the world when we see all of these guys rolling out, to me, early in the game? I mean, it doesn't get much younger than the twist, but is it the lifestyle? Is it the lifestyle of Michael Jackson, Prince? What actually happened to Kobe Bryant? These are pertinent questions that you should be willing to do some form of cross-examination to get an answer, or a better answer than what I feel and many others feel, that we have been given inconclusive answers on the deaths of our, the players that are in the game. We're talking major entertainment. We're talking major politicians. I mean, we're talking Black to you tonight because we're on Black Power Radio, and I'm telling you, we have the most informative radio talk show anywhere on 196,940,000 square miles. And if you don't believe in that, I mean, just ask somebody like Marvin Gaye and see what he says.
We give let it control our destiny. We owe it to ourselves to live happy eternally.
messed up, but the one that got away. One we left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs to your land, guns in your hand. Yes, man, though, no one tell, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with a COINTELPRO bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Sitting around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not at, just whips complain. Started didn't fight, just strip the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders for the fuck respect. Violence to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror. They just drop bombs for the mothers and the kids. Yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a soda. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a soda. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a soda. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a soda. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Nobody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the schools with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the states. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Torture that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with him. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, pass away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then he shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together as we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you. Don't conform to authority, cause under uniforms human bonds that bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna start and touch us
about
the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Love you, mother. Love you, father.
Oh, don't you dare deny him. The Almighty God who originated the heavens and the earth has given us the rain, the snow, and the hail. And such a beautiful, happy holiday season for those who are celebrating and for those who wanted to celebrate and couldn't make it in. Oh, there were so many that wish they could have made this beautiful season with us. And we are among the living, and we are counting every day above ground as a to gain a new lease on this life as we know it. And those things that we don't know, well, we just don't know. But for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, we seek the Most High God who made the rain, the snow, and the hail, and made every possibility for us to gain a new lease on life. And some of us are maybe not seeking paradise. Others are just raising hell. They think that the earth was made for them to run up and down the block and so forth and just complain and raise hell all day. They say, he's raising Cain, you know. They rarely do they say he's raising Abel, because something has been done to interrupt our ability to process good, decent, and clean living. And we barter, right, our deal. We make a deal with the accursed Satan, the devil himself. And then we want the angel blessing at the end of the day. It's just something lopsided about our equation all the way around. The whole idealism of Mediterraneanism has crippled far too many of us. And then there's another group, again, we're crippled by this idea of early death syndrome. Can early death syndrome, or what you call early instant death syndrome, because far too many, in my estimation, and many others, of our superstars seem to be going out a little early. Always something got in the way and he killed him. He OD'd on something that put you to sleep and he killed him. Oh, he had a stroke, and next report, he's dead. Instant death syndrome in modern times. And some amongst the embalmers, there's a group of embalmers, the Union of Embalmers that work for many, many funeral directors across the hells and the smells of North America. There are funeral directors and embalmers who have unions and accountability, and they are saying that they are finding some strange phenomenon amongst those with this instant death syndrome. From Colin Powell to Marvelous Marvin Hagler and my doctor and friend, a very astute brother, Dr. Kevin Muhammad, Abdul Hafiz Muhammad of Brooklyn, New York, and all of these men have made it to the body bag, some folks' estimation now. They all come conclusively and say, well, he went a little earlier. We didn't expect him to die, and not that we have any control of life and death on the planet, but is it coincidental that Kobe Bryant went a certain way and that our brother Twitch went a certain way, Michael and Prince went a certain way? But what say ye tonight? We're going to talk to our beloved chairman. He's out in South Carolina, the chairman of the state of South Carolina. I want to welcome Brother Ty, Chairman Ty. Welcome to Black Power Radio.
Black Power.
And we're so happy to have you with us tonight. Yes, we are. Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing, but, you know, with the current circumstances, after I put my formula in there and I shake it around in the bag, like, you know how you put some names on a little piece of paper and you break them up and you put them in a hat, you shake them around, and you come out with one or two or whatever, you pick your formula. With everything being said, I can say I'm doing okay, but with the circumstances now, nah, we ain't, as a whole, we ain't doing too well. Because like you say, man, look at her. They're killing us in so many different kind of ways. I don't understand it, though. Am I by myself? Hey, sir. I'm so glad that I met you, man. I thought I was out here by myself. I see that you got your eyes open. But in the masses, though, do the majority of people in different places got their eyes open? The people that surround here that I know, I don't think they see what's going on. They see it, but they don't see it. You're looking, but you're not observing what's going on. You don't see them killing us every day. I'm in a grocery store right now. I'm in Walmart. I'm walking down the aisle, man. I'm looking at some of the ingredients that's in the food that we don't need, man. We don't need this in our bodies. It's something they might need to strengthen their bodies, but we don't need it. So if we don't need it, like they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you ain't sick, you ain't going to take no medicine, right? So what we need, all this sodium propionate, all these different kind of chemicals that you can't pronounce it, guess what? Your body can't pronounce it. So what is it doing in you? It's causing cancer. It's causing you to die. It's hardening your veins up. It's stopping up your veins. It's fucking up your blood pressure. It's messing with your blood sugar. It's messing with your mind. It's messing with your digestive tract. It's slowing it down. It's slowing down your body as a whole. We're supposed to be living 800-900 years. We dying at 45 and 50 years old. But don't nobody see that, though. Everybody that's 40, 45 years old, they take high blood pressure medicine, and they taking this and that. They're having to do this, and they're having to do that. All this went going on a few years ago. I'm talking about a few years ago, 20, 30 years ago, everybody wasn't suffering the way we are. When they interrupted the black family structure, that's when the problem started. Now women don't want to cook. Now the man don't want to be a man. It's so many bitches. Oh, excuse my language. There's so many bitches out here. I see men living off women. I see people that don't want to work and take care of a household. I see people that think that two kids is enough. And that's something that they do because they can't reproduce fast. So two kids to them, that's enough. We having 10, 12, 15 kids. That's what we've been doing. And so we're going to let them push their way of life onto us and play their game. Anytime you play somebody else's game, you're going to lose because it's their game. And that's what they do. They go from country to country, continent to continent, and play their game, push their game on the people. They go to the Arabic countries and tell them, oh, you don't got to cover up. You ain't got to cover up. Yeah, let the sun eat you up. You ain't got to cover up. You ain't got to listen to what your man say. Yeah, your family structure, the way it's been going with no diseases and no cancer, you ain't got to do it that way. Do it the American way. Empower yourselves. Me first. What they say, what, the Me Too movement or whatever like that? Oh, y'all gratify yourselves. Let's switch it up. Man, that's what they do. It's known that they're going to sow different seeds in every region of the world in different kind of fucked up ways, causing cancer and war amongst everybody, every soul, every different religion and creed. They're going to do that. That's what they've been doing, and they're going to continue to do it. But what are you going to do? Point the finger and blame them? You can blame somebody else for what they're doing. You can't control what somebody else do, but you can control what you do. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then guess what? Everything going to fall right into place. The reason why they're mad, the reason why the police shooting people, the reason why people gentrifying all areas, the reason why there's inflation, the reason why they're making diseases in labs and trying to push them on to you and figure out what the best formula is to kill you. They still can't come up with the best formula because it's going to kill them too. But they will die just to kill you. Remember that now. Kamikaze style. Understand, in the end of the day, do what you're supposed to be doing. I'm going to just make a long story short. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Love one another. Stop putting the material things first. Go back to the old way of doing things if you got to look at it like that right there. Grow you some vegetables on the land. Raise your own animals. Study. Do what you got to do. But when you take on somebody else's culture and try to be like them, guess what? That's suicide of your own personality. Be yourself. Right? Do what you got to do. Hey, it's only a few of us left. It's a lot of us, but it's only a few of us left. There's love. They got their eyes open. It's only a few of us left. But do what you're supposed to be doing and then open some other people's eyes around you. Because if you don't, when the fight starts, you're going to be by yourself. I feel like I'm by myself now. I got people that think they know what's going on, but they don't know what's going on because they conform into the ways of these people. And trying to be like them. trying to live they life they live, trying to have their riches that they have, and then you lose something when you gain them riches. Too big for your britches. Yeah. See, it's goodness in a struggle. It's something good in a struggle. It's something good that it do to you. It's something good to where it open up your eyes and make you be a certain kind of way to where you can survive on less and you can thrive and you can come up with ideas and you can make lemon out of lemonade and you can do things of that nature. But when you switch over and you start going for the more materialistic things, then you lose something. Understand? You lose something. And guess what? We got to find ourselves again. Because first of all, when we came to this continent right here, our culture was destroyed. See, what they did, and nobody never told me this. I never read this in a book. But they killed all the older people that had the language and the culture and the ways and the things of that nature right there. They killed all of them. And then the babies grew up lost, being a different land. It's colder than what they used to. It's different vegetables, different fruits, different animals than what they used to. And you was just totally lost, and they destroyed your culture. But guess what? We found our culture. We still made a culture of dancing and music and entertainment and learning and ideas and everything like that. But once they seen that right there, oh, we got to stop that. They're naturally the strongest, so we got to stop that right there. We got to do it at all means, at any cost possible. We got to slow these people down. What can we do? Can we use the radio? Can we use the TV? Can we do it in the school system? Can we put something in their food? Can we just shoot them and kill them on the spot? What can we do to slow these people down? But guess what? Again, we can't control other people and their actions. That's whether you're in a relationship or you're out on the street or you're in an organization. You can't control everybody else's actions. But you can control your own actions. And that's all I'm talking about right there. Do what you're supposed to be doing and step it up. I'm going to step it up, and I'm going to criticize myself. What am I not doing that I should have been doing? What can I do that I already been doing to make what I'm doing better? Can I put more time into this? Can I come at a different angle and do this? What have I not been doing that I should have been doing? I'm going to criticize myself. I'm going to look at myself and see where I fucked up at, and I'm going to make it better. And 2023 about to take off, man. I feel it, man. I feel it all in my spirit, man. I feel it all in my soul. Flashback to the solar eclipse and all that right there. Do y'all feel me? Is anybody there with me? Is anybody there with
me?
We
feel you. We feel you, big brother.
No. You my big brother. You my big unk. I'm your little nephew. My brother. Yes, sir. I just, you know, when I wake up sometime, I just feel like I'm by myself out here. Feel like I'm by myself. We got to open up more of our people's eyes, man. We got to open up. We got to do something. We got to start conforming to this television, this Instagram, this Facebook, this every moment we on Facebook and Instagram and we texting and just being silly and laughing and joking. We got to stop all that bullshit. Get serious about what's going on because they killing a lot of motherfuckers. Yeah, day by day, minute by minute, in different kind of ways, though. A lot of shit look like accidents. A lot of shit look like a motherfucker made their own mistake. But guess what? It was calculated into an algorithm to how, okay, we see how he thinks, so this is what we going to do to get him fucked up. It ain't going to work on him because they got different personalities. But we going to do this. This is what we going to do. That's going to look like an accident. When we going to mix that in, yep, I'm going to do it that way. And he going to be gone. It's going to look perfect. The coroner going to, yep, write that off. Yeah, he overdosed. Oh, he had too much salt in his system. He took too much blood pressure medicine. He is dehydrated. Oh, it's just his time, natural causes. But they going to... Trust me. Oh, taking too long to pass. Let's just shoot him. We're going to say he drawed a gun. He had a phone, though. We thought it was a gun. That's justified right there, fucker. That's good enough. The man that shot him was a good old boy, man. Yeah, he golfs with us. He played golf with us, and he donates to the organization. And every time a nigger dies, you know, he sends out his money. And, you know, we've been – you get what I'm saying? We're going to let him go.
Yes, sir.
Let's give him a little probation. give him a little probation. We're gonna let that slide right there. That's how we're gonna do that. Now what we gonna do? We're gonna march for a day, then tomorrow we're gonna be being silly again, watching TV, watching Power and damn the Family Show, whatever the fuck that shit is. You know what I'm talking about, watching TV, being all silly and shit. We'll march for a day or two. We turn our back and let them grant somebody a bond who done killed somebody, a mother or ten. Let me ask y'all a question. How many women do you know that got 9 or 10 kids that got custody of all their kids? Even 5 kids, 6 kids. Make sure they got good charismas and they cook dinner for them every day, every night. Something got to be good about that woman if they had that many kids anyway. Something good. But who got custody of all their kids? Don't ask no man for nothing. Not no, can we get some child support over here? You ain't doing this, you ain't doing. If the man ain't doing nothing, they just going to get it themselves. That's the way a real woman is. But guess what? We got a few of them real women, though. We ain't got that many. We got some. But we ain't got enough men stepping up to the plate just taking care of their family or taking care of something. Because I can be separated from my family, but guess what? I can be in another state or a whole another town and help take care of family, make somebody your family and take care of them, or do something that you know is going to help position somebody so in the future they're going to be able to do what they're supposed to be doing. You get what I'm saying? That's every day. We can do more every day, but we're not doing more. We're only being selfish and worrying about ourselves. I always remember that whatever you give, the blessing is going to come back to you tenfold. So whenever you're doing something, don't feel like you're overextending yourself. Just know it's going to come back around. And guess what? When you fall, somebody got you, because when you think ain't nobody watching, ain't nobody listening, somebody watching and listening. They're watching your character, and they're watching, and you're their role model. The young men seeing you in church, whatever God you got, they're watching you. They seeing you doing work every day, getting up in the morning time and going to work. They're watching you. Be a good role model. Also, spread that love to one another. Spread that love to one another. Smile and just, you know, ask everybody is they okay and really mean it and help your brother like we used to do back in the day. For the last 20, 30 years, I've seen it myself, man. Things done went down here, even the way the kids talk to their parents. Disrespectfulness. And then you can't hit your kid. Now you can't discipline your family. You can't do that. They made a law. You're going to go to jail now if you try to be a real family man and try to step up. Man, we gotta step it up and say fuck the way they want us to be and start conforming to the life that they want us to live, because it's done destroyed us. Do things the way it's supposed to be done. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Do that shit. If not, you don't need to be rubbing elbows with me, because you're the enemy to me. If you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing, you trust and believe, I'll blink as quick as I can take a quarter of a breath. If we got some kind of disagreement, I calculate that in like a computer, everything that ain't right. Oh, he don't take care of his kid. Oh, he don't step it up on this. Oh, he ain't trying to help. And then guess what? You one of them. So you can go too. Yeah, we got some people that's our same color and they ain't right. On Black Power Radio Live, you feel me?
Yeah, but I feel you,
let's,
bro.
Let's step it up. 2023, let's step it up.
All right.
Hey, what is that, 515 first or 605?
Oh, we got 515.
The number.
605-605-9889. That's right. You might want to say that once more for all of those that are numerically pure at heart, and some may have been writing that number. You might want to repeat that number, sir.
That number is 515-605-9889. The most informative radio show in the land. In the United States of America and other countries, Africa, that's going to inform you and let you know what time it is. It's time for the revolution, baby. Not no revolt. It's time for the revolution.
All right. Well, thank you, brother.
515-605-9889. $ Bakers, 77.
Right. That's right.
Is that right?
Absolutely. We're at $77 Bakers. Yes, sir. $77 Bakers. Anyone that wants to see this type of radio continue, what are they going to tune in? Let on their Cash App and go what? Dollar sign?
77 Bakers. Hey, go get what, right? When somebody toast your ass and they roast your ass, you going to want us to come and bake somebody, but how are we going to get down there without no gas? How are we going to get down there without no food?
Go ahead.
Come on. Hey.
That's right.
You got to support. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know what we're supposed to be doing. Same way we go to church and we pay our tithes, man, at the end of the day. If one of them killed one of us right now, they're going to goddamn go get that motherfucker right out. They're going to go get him right out. And then they're going to stop him off at Burger King before we even go anywhere. Because the people that are taking the Burger King, they're going to get reimbursed tenfold. They're going to bail him out. They're going to make sure he don't do a day. They're going to make sure if he do some time, then it ain't going to be that much. They're going to put their money together. Be $1 million bond. They got that. You ain't got to worry about that. They got that. $1 million. But if Cousin Junebug get a $100,000 bond, you think somebody going to help get him out or send him a 100 bond? He ain't going to get shit. That's why I say, man, we got to support our people that's doing what they supposed to be doing, and then we're ignoring them after they put in that work. We're ignoring them. Now, I got your back for life. If you in there, what you supposed to have been taking care of, your kids or your mama or whoever like that, I'm going to make sure they're good. They straight. That's what you got to donate for. And we got to donate for those weak-ass niggas who ain't really doing nothing. We got to make up for them. Because we already know some of our own people ain't right. We got to make up for them. So everybody do what they supposed to be doing. It's going to come back because it's going to be a time when you need somebody. And the real motherfucker's going to be there. But guess what? We there when you don't even know about we there. When you sleeping, there's somebody there. I hope so. And your region, you got some people patrolling. If you don't, you need to step it up. Get some people patrolling your area, man, watching your people. Watch them in different ways, man. We need different people, different ages, and different kind of ways doing things. You might have some people 16, 15 years old watching things online because they can play with them computers real good. You might have somebody 40, 50 watching some things in a different kind of way, in different kind of way. Then you might ask somebody my age watching things in a different kind of way. Everybody brings something to the table. Don't count somebody out because they got somewhat of a handicap in your eyes. Oh, he got a drug problem. We ain't going to fuck with him. Yeah, yes, we are going to fuck with him because I'm not going to climb on top of the roof. It's 20 degrees right now. But he'll climb on the roof. He'd be glad to volunteer. But you're going to compensate him too, though. And you're going to climb under the house. But guess what? I climb in the tree, and I wait for a motherfucker to come out. I jump down on you. Or I aim down on your ass. I'll stay right there in the tree. But I'm going to wrap up real good in some good clothing. I'm going to have me some good old peanuts in my pocket, though, and a nice little drink to keep me hydrated. And when the motherfucker that did something to my motherfucking family, they step out. Oh, their ass gone. You got to come out because you ain't got no supply line. You step out to go to the mailbox, to do anything. Go to the grocery store. Wherever you at, you going to get that shit right there where you at. You got to start popping these motherfuckers. Y'all pop each other. Oh, he stepped on my shoes. I'm going to shoot him. Oh, he accidentally rubbed my girl some laugh at his joke. I'm going to kill him. Oh, I caught him having sex with my old lady. I'm going to kill him. Start killing these motherfuckers. Start killing them. Oh, no, don't say that on the radio. It's a free country. I say what the fuck I want to say. This ain't nothing but entertainment, right? So mostly all of this. If you kill one of my people, it can be entertainment. It can be whatever you call it. Somebody going to get your ass. Where you going to move to? You must got a lot of goddamn money doing some moving. I catch a load right to your motherfucking town to your front door. Get paid to come and see your ass. You know what? I do it for free. I get my last. If I had 10 more of me, man, shit. God damn it. If I had half another one of me. If a man can pick up 200 pounds by himself and he had another man with him that can pick up 200 pounds also and you put them together, that's 550 pounds they can lift together. Count that up and see if they added all right. When you put everything together, you can do more. And I done seen people in the group and it's a certain amount of stuff that need to be done, and everybody's just doing their own thing. I'm going to get mine done, then they're going to go on and walk on off after they get theirs done. Nah, everybody going on in together, and then let's say everybody, you're only as fast as the slowest person on your team. Remember that right there. You're only as fast as the slowest person on your team. Hey, Black Power, I'm gonna pass off to somebody else. I ain't going to talk y'all to death tonight. Feel a great spirit, man. It's about to be a new year. It's time to step it up. I mean, we're going to do something. Just don't fuck with me at all. Word up.
That's Black Power. Black Power and a strong Black military that can actually black that call. We're strong here at Black Power Radio as we're rolling up. Let me see. We've got... we just lost the one that we're queuing up, so we're on the move. Wow. We're going to let our National Minister of Justice roll this piece up as it should be rolled up. I just want to ask this person a question that may be the guest. Let me see. 737, were you asked to be called in by the guest host tonight? Is this a guest host queue at 737-703, are you live? Is your mic live? I just want to check that. Mic check.
Black Power, how you doing today, sir? Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, who's that? Okay, walaikum salam. That's our host. That's our, one of our guest hosts, right out of Austin, Texas. Brother Muhammad is down there holding the line. One of our chiefs is there. Regional Chief of Staff, is that right? He's right there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to bring you up. I'm going to allow, do you have something on the AB 321, or do you have something on the, let's see, we're on the middle of the rumble. Let's see. Do you have anything on what really happened to Twitch, Kobe, Michael Jackson, Prince, and like Kobe Bryant and those guys? Is that early instant death syndrome? Are we imagining things, or what's going on with that, Brother Muhammad?
First of all, let me give all praises to Allah, to our guests that have spoken, to our spokesman, Honorable Shrek Man Akbar, and to our brothers and sisters around the world. I just want to say Assalamu alaikum, Black Power. No, my brother, as we look at the course of, in the history of time, we know that our enemy working by our warfare. And if we look at some of the strongholds that Prince and Michael Jackson had, we know that Michael had a stronghold on Sonny's. We know that Prince owned all his masters and his copyrights. And so these celebrities had solidified, you know, all of their possessions from these record companies, and they were influencing the younger generation to do likewise. And not only that, that they were trying to buy these big entities so they could be self-significant. And Honorable E-Man Shrek, if we go back and we look at Sam Cooke, we kind of see some of the correlations. We know that Sam Cooke had his own independent record label. He was producing. He was getting some of the greatest artists in the African-American community, and he was trying to advance them with some of the knowledge that he had. And so we know the assassination plot against him. We know that we haven't found out what happened to him as well. And so when we look at Josephine Baker and we go and we look at the history of time, sir, the only thing we can say is that we know that biowarfare is a tool that they use. They disguise it amongst our celebrities and make them look like they're just some dope fiends or just some alcoholic and stuff like that. If we look at the Temptation, the demise of the great music, we look at Marvin Gaye, and the list goes on and on. And so, no, sir, I think we're finally waking up and we're finally realizing that how they're destroying not just us having a stronghold in the music and the TV industry, but just history that we're making, man, with great music that lasts on and on. And when we're down and out, we can cherish some of those great voices and the things that they're inspiring us to do and be in their songs. And so they're always trying to suffocate the voice that liberates our people on all levels of life. And so I think this is the greatest tragedy and the greatest attack against our people, against some of our celebrities in place. And so this is my take on it. And once again, I thank you for this opportunity to get to speak to the people and share what the ancestors has put in my soul. Black Power and all power to the people, sir.
Black Power and all power to the people, sir. And we're thankful to Brother Muhammad for being on the scene live right out there in the beautiful city of Austin, the capital city,
yes,
there in Texas. And all in that region of Killeen and all those counties. I know you can name all those counties for us later in the show. And we'll go out and talk to our Minister of Justice, and she's got a lot of clues as to what's going on with AB 3121, and it's a task force bill for reparations and the state of what is the state of our reparations and what will be the actual payout of reparations and what really happened to Twitch, Kobe, Michael Jackson, Prince, Sam Cooke, Otis Reddy, Marvin Gaye, and you got Barry White, James Brown, Red Fox, Richard Pryor. All of our celebrities seem to go early into the body bag and put them 6 feet under, and they bury much of their talent, much of their things that they wanted to do. They stop the prophecy and the vision of many of our entertainment, sports, political community with Mickey Leland, Ron Brown, and another list of people. That did they die in the early instant death syndrome? Is there a conspiracy, or are we just out here faking? And we just want to talk live to our National Minister of Justice on these and many other issues. Welcome to the airways, our National Minister of Justice, Dr. Critical L. Ray Truebay. Thank you for joining us tonight, and power to the people.
Power to the people. How we doing, Black family?
Doing fantabulous. Good. And yourself?
All right. Well, this is going into the end of the year, and today we're going to be talking about the update of the Reparations Task Force Committee, started in California 2 years ago, AB 3121. It's a reparations bill written by Assemblywoman Shirley Weber, and it has moved one step closer to being passed. Even though it has been passed by Gavin Newsom, it's still the study of what reparations look like for descendants of slaves. So what is reparations? Just to start from the beginning, reparations is the repayment of a wrongdoing that has been done. And what is that wrongdoing? Chattel slavery. And so this is the repair that America has to come to when it comes down to what does Black people's history and how they were treated, how can they wrong that right? So, Black family, not to be confused with cash payments. Reparations is not just paying money. It has several components to it, starting with land acquisition. The property that was stolen, specifically Black-owned businesses, homes that were burnt down to the ground, blocks and blocks of Black neighborhoods, especially if they were well-to-do, as we see in Tulsa, Oklahoma, how that was unjustifiable, how Black businesses were torched simply because America could not come to the fact that we wanted to be equal. And God said we would be slaves for 400 years in this land. And that started in 1619. So in 2019, there are some doors that are started to open before COVID. Now, after COVID, a lot more opportunities now are still open for those especially born on this soil, descendants of slaves. But we still have a long way to go. So for those who may not have known the beginnings of AB 3121, California is the only state that actually has a task force, a 9-member task force that is currently deciding. And it's almost 2 years now since it just started. And still we have about 6 more months. So the deadline for this reparations task force to come up with the finalization of what is owed for each descendant of slaves. Not too long ago, we did hear about the housing amount that these two people, we have Thomas Cleary, that has decided that $569 billion in housing equity is owed to California blacks. And so this will be transferred on a nationwide level, federally, but right now we're just starting with one state. So as we move forward, there are many states that are passing their own reparations bill, according to the blacks in their, and eventually after California's task force is over, they should be one step closer into coming to a decision. But I tell you, black family, I've been there since the beginning, since the very beginning, since it just started. And there's a couple of things I will share with you. We're going to get some highlights of the last reparations committee hearing that we had in Oakland, December 14th and 15th. And I'm going to play some audio of that hearing. But first, let's start off with what is AB 3121?
Bill AB 3121 was officially signed by California Governor Gavin Newsom, which will create a nine-member task force to research and possibly issue reparations to its black residents who are descendants of American slavery. The task force will compile a report on the effects of slavery and systemic discrimination, historic and current, on black Californians. According to the bill, the governor will call the first meeting of the task force no later than June 1st of 2021. Since the passing of the bill, some critics of it are confused of why California would be paying out reparations when it technically was an enslaved state upon receiving statehood in 1850. Unbeknown to most Americans, in 1852, California passed the Fugitive Slave Law, to which runaway slaves who resided in California even before it received its statehood in 1850 were to be captured, detained, and returned back to their masters in the South from which they fled.
All right. So just in short, it has to start somewhere. And so that's where Gavin Newsom passed that bill, and now we're going into a second year mark. Now, when I attended the Reparations Task Force in Oakland this past week, it was very disturbing. Let me tell you something about these task force meetings. Black family, when I tell you, your presence is needed more than ever to participate in these California reparations meetings. It's not just for California, even though it's in California. It is for all of us. And if you are a black empowerment group or leader or have an organization in any part of the United States, there's a virtual call-in that you can actually participate from anywhere to call in and give your records, give your testimony on why reparations to descendants of slaves is important. So it's not just a conversation for California. And what I've noticed, black family, is that these task force committee meetings, it's in person, there's a lot of little things, something as important as reparations. We, logistics-wise, it's not the greatest. Anything that has to do with repair or black empowerment, we don't even have basics such as bottled water. These are not 1-2 hour meetings, you know. These are up to 6 and 7 hours. So they have an hour and a half for public comment, which is certainly not enough ever. And they end up always cutting public comment time. So your initial recording time is 3 minutes. And as they have increase of speakers, they decrease it to 2 minutes, to finally 1 minute. And sometimes people don't even get to speak at all. So this is what's been happening, at least in the last 6 meetings that I've attended. Another thing is the audio. Oh, when I tell you, black family, the actual official audio for the reparations meeting, which is on the California State website. These are the ones that are hosting the reparations meeting. The audio, black family, is so atrocious. You have side conversations with technical people behind the scenes, and 9 times out of 10, these are not even all black tech. Majority of them are Caucasian, are European. So when they're doing the so-called sound, whether it's the microphones for the speaker or the podium for the people who want to give their testimony, The audio is, it's such poor quality that we got to do better. And I can guarantee you, if it's been a hearing concerning reparations for Ukrainians or Afghanistan, the audio would be on point. So I really want you to pay attention to these particular meetings. And if you have time, to go into the California State YouTube channel where they have the recordings of all the past reparations meetings. And you can see how the disparities are not so great. So there are just some improvements that we want for the task force chair, Camilla Moore and Senator Bradford, Reggie Jones-Sawyer, Lisa Holder, Dr. Cheryl Grills, Professor John Amos.
And I'm paying attention. That's
right
all.
Right on. Okay. So we really do want to have better technology. We want to have water for those who are sitting in these meetings for 7 hours. Also, food, just basic stuff that they would have on a especially very important hearing that I'd like to see differently. Overall, the next meeting, January 27th and the 28th, will be in San Diego. And so I'm hoping that you either can call in, and the location of where the next task force meeting will where is still up in the air. But all we know is that it'll be in San Diego next month. And so this is the final year. Before we go into some of the highlights of the reparations task force last week in Oakland, I want to touch bases on, just in synopsis, what is our goal plans for 2023? The reparations task force involvement, it should not be our only priority list, but it should be on top of that, Black family. Because, again, it's only a temporary meeting, and it will end sometime in July 2023. Well, one of the things that we do want to highlight is a lot of the Black media, which is very few far in between, is not even covering the whole entire highlights of the reparations meeting. Now, how many of us know of a media mogul? His name is Philip Scott from the African Diaspora Channel. How many of us are well aware of Mr. Philip Scott? I watch his material quite often. Imam? Hi, anyone?
Hi.
M.O.D.?
Brand new to me.
Okay, so we're not familiar with Philip Scott from the African Diaspora Channel. Uncle Phil.
Yeah. From the Fresh Prince Show?
Yes.
Uncle Phil, yeah, you talk, what show, hey, ask the question one more time, I'm sorry. I don't know if I understood
Philip
the question.
Philip Scott from the African Diaspora Channel. He has a YouTube channel that's been around for quite some time. Philip Scott, the brother from African Diaspora Channel.
And the question is, what now?
This one is...
Okay, so let's research who Philip Scott is, because he is one of the main Black media outlets out there. And the reason why I brought him up is because he is one of the few media organizations that covered the reparations hearing. A lot of these mainstream media, they have clips of the reparations task force, but they're not bringing the highlight of speakers who speak specifically on a bill.
Oh,
and so I want to bring up the audio from his commentary on the reparations task force. And out of the 100 people that spoke, he decided to take a clip from two Morris brothers. And a lot of people's platform, they have an agenda. And so Philip Scott's agenda, usually he highlights the bad behavior of Black women, ghetto girls, stuff like that. Some people have their niche. And so when he was covering this reparations task force, I said, wait a minute, why did he cover only two of hundreds of speakers that had great points and yet went to these two that was speaking reparations to be in the form of gold and bullion. So let's take a listen as to Philip Scott doing a commentary on the Reparations Task Force December 14th.
This footage that I'm about to review here, I've been seeing this footage, and I just haven't had the time to get to it until today. But you recently had a California Reparations Task Force meeting. They were letting people come up and speak. And one thing I cannot stand about a lot of people in our community is that we can't just be on cold completely. Other groups, when they talk about giving us some checks, everybody shut the hell up, and they just keep and they just have their hands out and say, "Hey, when am my check gonna be deposited?" Talking about all these some people that's kind of bursting some of this, speak up at these particular meetings. So everybody got to say something. But I want you to listen to this. Some of you may have seen this already, but I want to give my take on it. But let's go ahead.
I think the reparations should be as follows. To be gifted to us with gold and silver bullion equals 1,724 metric tons of gold and silver bullion.
Okay, so this fella is talking about we need to be given gold and silver bullion.
Now, it's okay for Philip Scott to highlight his talking point, but this brother spoke for at least 3 minutes, and he only heard 15 seconds of a clip just so he can make a point about how ridiculous gold and bullion is. And we have hopefully a guest speaker, Trevor, that wanted to have his opinion on what his thoughts of reparation payments should be. But I want to just highlight the deceptiveness, especially as black media. We have a responsibility to cover the real story that empowers us. We already have very few far in between black journalists that really speak truth to power. And definitely we don't expect Fox News or MSNBC to cover anything concerning black empowerment. So when someone like Philip Scott that has a large platform and has been around for a while, he cannot afford to have his platform misleading the public. So let's continue to listen on what his opinion is on just this clip.
The issue with this guy is saying the messaging should be cash payments. Outside of cash payments, we need an anti-black hate crime bill. Outside of that, we need financial protection in the banking system against discrimination. The banks should be disclosing how they're coming about giving loans to everybody. They should know how many, black people are getting loans, what are the terms of these loans, that black people are signing versus white people. They should match exactly what it is. I mean, there's so many different things that black people need in this country. But you have these silly, silly black folk.
And you don't assist us, just watch what our God is going to do to America.
All right. So, again, if you want to hear the whole clip, you can go to Philip Scott Audio Experience, and you can see his whole dysentery breaking down this particular clip. Now, he made a very important point. He said, why aren't anyone speaking on an anti-black hate crime bill? Well, black family, yours truly, MOJ, went to this meeting and spoke specifically on the anti-crime hate bill. This was right before you heard this brother speaking about gold bullions. And these were Moorish brothers. So it's not just the Moors that were out there speaking on reparations. You had a lot of intelligent people that came, but they did not play this clip. So this is why I urge black media, anybody, to fulfill their duties by highlighting the real information of these hearings. It's already not getting covered as it should, again, because it is specifically about and for black folks. So what that translates from what I'm observing is that they're not giving us the right audio, first of all. They're not giving us the right equipment to support the meetings in person, and they definitely are not covering the highlights of what the good talking points are. So I'm going to fast forward to actually we have Bishop Williams, C. Williams, and he is a longtime pastor in Oakland, and I just want you to hear, and this is unedited, I just want you to hear some of the talking points that Bishop Williams, and God bless him, stated, that really has been fighting for reparations for close to 30 years in Oakland. And so let's hear his testimony. Now, if you didn't hear anything, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what it sounded like in person. So I just want to let you know the audio needs some serious help. So if any black tech companies out there and you know about our reparations meetings coming up, please be available. We need you there on the ground floor because AT&T was the one that was sponsoring the audio for this particular hearing. And I'm sure it's the same group that is doing that. It is deliberate the way that they are messing up the audio because the recordings are so important. The testimonies of the people who lived, who have ancestral chattel slavery, when they want to give their testimony, that's the most powerful tool. So what they try to do is that they want to infiltrate in a way where we can't even hear you correctly. So when I tell you it is very important, especially Philip Scott, who stated that he may not have to come to California because it's a California thing. No, it is actual everybody thing. It's an everybody thing. And poor Mr. Bishop Williams, he has a huge story to tell. He has a lot of history when it comes to reparations and his great-great-grandfather, who were actual chattel slaves. So I'm hoping that they do a little better with the audio. So I'm going to fast forward lastly to my testimony. And so this is what I stated, and this was right after these brothers, the Moors, were speaking about the gold and silver bullion as payment for reparations.
My father, who wished to be here on your behalf, in 1957, Dred Scott stood before Roger Tandy, and we all are here to express the same sentiments. My name is Dr. Truth Bays, Minister of Justice under the New Black Panther Party, under National Chairman Sheikh Kimo Mata, who wished to be here on your behalf. In 1957, Dred Scott stood before Roger Tandy, who was just a man with two daughters and a wife, and he couldn't understand why he wasn't free. And Roger Tandy, who actually had 13 slaves himself, was the Chief Justice at the time, said that a black man has no rights that a white man will ever respect. Since 1857, that has been law. It has not been written now, but through the 13th Amendment, where it says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude should accept as punishment for crime or law, shall be duly convicted, and here traffic stops. Through mass incarceration, that is how you continue to enslave the black man. So we ask that the anti-black hate crime bill, not a people of color, not an LGBT, no offense, but a black anti-hate crime bill to be drafted in order for us to be protected. Because because according to the Constitution currently, it is flawed. It is giving permission for black people to be non-citizens as a state. So as it continues to increase policy, we ask that it shows in the community equity for black businesses who apply for grants over and over and over again. And no attack. But if you were part of the Mark Ruby Thomas Circle in L.A. County, which I was born and raised and represent, black women, businesses, nonprofits have been given the shaft for as long as we can remember. And so no personal attack, as people were saying yesterday, but if you know politically that you have not done the job to keep L.A. constituents that I know a fair chance, you have no reason to speak. We ask that these laws be implemented on paper and that a bill be drafted in order for us to see the protections that you give Asians, LGBT, Ukrainians, Afghanistan, Palestinians, and human rights.
All right. There you go. All right. So I don't know if you heard too clearly, but again, the audio is the best that we can do. So I made it a point to specifically speak on an anti-black hate crime bill, H.R. 2023, to be exact. This is a policy that submitting to the Reparations Task Force Committee as to what is needed for us right away. It's great to give us cash payments. It's great to give us land. But what we don't have is legislation protecting the powers for us to do that. And that's one thing that I want for us as a family to push together. Now, just recently, you have Asian American groups, the same ones that actually pushed the anti-Asian hate crime bill, right? You remember the $50 million? Joe Biden happily signed for Asian hate crimes, right, that they were saying we were perpetrating. Now, these very same groups that received their $50 million, they have pushed and contacted Joe Biden last week, Friday to be exact, so he can actually write an executive order for Africans, for African Americans, for blacks. And so this is historic. Because now even the Asians, it's just so much noise is being made right now that these groups are realizing that black people are still the only group of people that has received nothing. And this awakening is very important because we cannot have Asians doing our job. They can assist, they can be allies, but certainly black family, we should not be the ones sitting back while it is reparations due to our family, our generation, our children. So this is why from this point on, be on top of this reparations task force meeting. Just because it's in California doesn't mean it's just for Californians. It's a starting point. This is specifically why we requested to identify property in your own neighborhood, because these properties that you've identified, this will be yours. This will be for your community. We have been spread out to every single state, and every other town has a plentiful black population, some more than others. But overall, the history is still the same. Once we have determined the finalization of the reparations bill, we cannot come out the woodworks and say, okay, cut me the check. Get involved now so it doesn't have to be another 5 years. Right? So let's get on the ball. So I'm looking forward to having many of us attend as we grow the San Diego meeting. And there is a guest, Mr. Trevor Palacio, if he's on the line. I'd like to speak with him on his take on the reparations task force. Now, Mr. Palacio actually is Garifuna. And if you're not familiar with Garifuna, with the Garifuna people, basically they are a mixed free African and indigenous American ancestry and originated in the Caribbean and has a lot to do with Haiti, has a lot to do with free states, with fighting for freedom. And this Caribbean island of St. Vincent primarily speak Garifuna. And hopefully he's on the line. I'd like him to explain more on the history of Garifuna and Marcus Garvey, particularly being a Garveyite, what does that mean to really have a back to Africa movement? Maybe not physically, but definitely mentally. Pan-Africanism, as Dr. Umar promotes as well, very important movements that we grab onto these groups, Black family, because they've been out there, they're in the trenches doing the work of bringing empowerment to our people once and for all. And it definitely is not a group of people. It has to be all of us on the same page with the same same code and really bringing forth what is owed to us. And we're almost there. When I tell you the doors are opening and people are left resisting, I'm talking about the oppressor. They're breaking down significantly. God is taking care of them. Some of them are dying off, leaving tons of land out there for us to retrieve that was stolen from us. So let's see if Sir Trevor Palacios is on the line. We head back to our host, Sheikh Imam Akbar.
Yes, we are looking at 415 at 499. We hope that's the right cue. 415, you're live. That's us. Thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. That was Hino, and I want you to pronounce it fully, correctly. Give me a full name, title, what you represent, what you're about to do, and tell us a little bit about yourself and the current updated status and what you see in the future, sir. Thank you.
Greetings, big brother.
You're live.
Greetings. Yes, sir. Greetings. My name is Trevor Garifuna the Palacio, Sister Truth Bay. Thank you for having myself and Bishop Henry Williams here today.
All right. Glad to have you.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks good to be here. Here. I want to start off by noting that H.R. 40 passed by, which was assessed by H.R., meaning House of Representatives, was simply there to establish the commission to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans. And Assembly Bill 3121, another committee, it's like they have passed the torch on to them to continue to do the exact same thing as Dr. Truth Bay was talking about. We have a legend here with us today who is Bishop Henry Williams, who has been doing this work for over 50 years. For the record, for over 50 years, he is the lead. He is the, yes, yes.
Wow.
88 years old. He can speak for himself. But before we go into that, I just want to share this. The brother who was talking about the crackheads and sitting on trees was absolutely right about one thing, which was that we need everybody. We need the auntie who sit on the church's board at church, and we also need that military trained sniper, and we need everyone in between to make this come to pass. We have to work collectively. The Asians you just spoke about, they successfully did it by working collectively. The Japanese who did it before them did it collectively. The Jews did it collectively. Now, the main thing that we have, Gangster Garvey introduced us to the term intra-racial prejudice. Mm-hmm. The main thing that we have against us is our skin tone, but that's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is intra-racial, I-N-T-R-A, intra-racial prejudice. Therefore, Marcus Garvey said, I commit my body, my mind, and spirit to the protection, defense, and security of the red, black, and green. I dedicate my life to the redemption of Mother Africa and the liberation of her scattered black children. I accept for myself and my descendants the teachings of the universal African nationalism, and promise that our children will be installed with the purpose and knowledge of themselves and African people, in order that the cause of our struggle will neither falter nor fall until all black people are free and united under one God, one aim, and one destiny. Marcus Garvey also instructed us that we are a Unitarian particle of the universal intelligence. Let's behave intelligently, and we shall overcome, and this too shall come to pass. When it comes, Sister Truth Bay and my brother who's moderating tonight, when it comes to how we should receive the reparations, we should keep a couple of things in mind. And the bishop will speak on this a little bit further. There is a local city pursuit for reparations. There is a statewide pursuit for reparations, such as what California is currently doing. That is a statewide pursuit for reparations for the African Americans of this country. But the one for Oakland needs to happen. The one for Los Angeles needs to happen. The one for Houston, Texas needs to happen. The one for Southside Chicago needs to happen. The one for Brooklyn needs to happen. But there is also a federal case. So how we get paid is going to have everything to do with collectivity, working collectively. Just like the wise brother said, the from the crackhead to the nurses board and everyone involved who is willing to partner with us in between. With that, we say Ashe to the queens out there. We say thank you for leading our community, for being the bloodline, the lifeline of the black community, always have been. We are a matrilineal society. To the black men out there, Trevor Garifuna says, the UNIAACL says, let the woman speak first. Support the woman first. Feel the sister first. And if you take care of the sister first, everything else will fall into place. We say Ashe.
Amen.
Ashe. All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's check that out. With that being said, can you tell us a little bit about the Garifuna? Tell us exactly the importance and significance when it comes to being a black national.
Being a Garifuna, so that it's clear to the people that there is a huge, extremely diabolical agenda in place. Being a Garifuna means the black people that were on this side of the world, the Western Hemisphere, before transatlantic slave trade happened, that is who we are. We are the descendants of those blacks who have always been here. Right? That's a Garifuna man.
Yeah.
Never enslaved. We saw the Vikings land in 990. We were here already. By the time Christopher Columbus got here in 1492, 500 years later, guess what? We saw him come in as well. By the time the English came thereafter, we saw all of them come. We defeated the French. We defeated the British and made sure that we were never enslaved. We inspired the Haitian Revolution. We inspired the Jamaican Maroon to pick up their machetes and their pickforce to stand up and be men and be women and liberate themselves. That's what it means to be Garifuna. But above anything else, what it means to be Garifuna is I for you and you for me. That is the principle by which we walk. I for you, you for me. You for me and I for you. And black nationalism is what it actually is. We are a global people. We are the people of dust.
Amen.
We are the people of the dirt. We are the first one to breathe in oxygen as human beings. And therefore, we inhabited the earth before anyone else came here. So black nationalism is global, black globalism. That's what it is at the end of the day. But again, until we eradicate the intra-racial prejudice, my sister Truth Bay, we're going to continue to struggle decade after decade, century after century. And if we don't take advantage of an 88-year-old individual, Bishop Henry William, who was actually enslaved himself, he'll tell you about that. He was enslaved in 1955 in Florida. If we don't take advantage of having a person like him and making sure that that audio is the way you're supposed to be, my sister.
We're
black nationalism, black globalism means nothing.
Right on.
Amen.
Right on.
Amen.
Thank you. With that being said, we are so grateful to have someone who is a legend, Bishop C. Williams. If he's there, we'd love to.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
All right. Greetings, Bishop. So glad to have you on Black Power Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, ma'am. It's a blessing. My friend put me on. I tried to get on early and couldn't. But it's a blessing to be able to be on and be able to hear everything and listen to everything that I've heard. You know, it is a blessing. But I want to say that, you know, everyone that spoke well. But there is some things here that we have to be able to, day and time, we have to preach to the preacher and everybody, you know, children and everybody, because a lot of people, they will bring out the truth or bring out the news or won't speak the truth, okay? Now, I have all the proof. I've been doing this for over 50 years. There's a guy in our church. He's 60-some years old, but he remembered me when he was a boy downtown Oakland speaking to people about reparations and passing out flyers when he was a boy in school. Okay, he gave his testimony at the church a lot of times. Now, what I see here in Oakland, California, I see Egypt, okay? Egypt right here. And I see, to me, it's a bigger Egypt here against blacks than it was in Egypt in the Bible. Because there's so much hate. You're talking about the hate crime. That is a crime. That's what we need to deal with in this, because there was so much hate here in Oakland, what caused it and everything. And the city, all parts of the government kept their eyes closed to what was going on. And on the spiritual side, I believe, and I can say this, the Spirit gave me the power to say this. I believe when God had the earthquake in 2006, it's because the people's eyes was closed to everything was happening in Oakland. All of San Francisco was closed to it. They took out all the lumber from Oakland that the slave cut. They took out a lot of it to San Jose and all, you know, and everything of that nature there. But their eyes was closed to it. So that earthquake should have woke up people, but it didn't, you know, have them right here. That was in the hills of Oakland, there was over 500,000 trees cut down by black, big redwood trees. And 15 of them were the biggest trees on earth, you know. Shouldn't have never been cut down, you know. And these slaves, they had nowhere to live. They had tents and living in tents and everything like that. These people build homes in five different cities here in Oakland and everything. Mm-hmm. I know that lumber, the 500,000 trees, it didn't build now a house for now a black person. Okay? and didn't let them live and have on the days that they had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the black, so much slavery in West Oakland, where the black was, black couldn't come downtown. They wouldn't allow unless they was ordered by some white person, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. They get arrested again. You know, and the truth is not being told. And press people don't want to bring out the truth. I have so much stuff in Channel 7. They've been doing news on me for many years. But they won't bring it out to the public. They don't want the public to know that they have bad stuff.
That's why we have you here, to bring that out to the public. And can you tell us a little bit about your experience? Because you actually was a candidate of chattel slavery. Can you tell us what it was like to escape or leave that type of environment? It's not too long ago.
I got a job. I went down there. So when I was a youngster, and I couldn't give my mama no money on Friday. You know, I was sick. I was hurt. And so I went down there and picking on and make some money so I can give my mama some money. And I got down there at 12 o'clock at night, Leesburg, Florida. And that was, that was three shotguns on us. Okay. And it took us to a place where the people was.
What year was this? And where was it located? Was it in Alabama?
It was in Florida. Alabama to Florida, Leesburg, Florida. And that was in 1955, I believe it was. Because I lived in 56. 1955, as my friend said earlier. And now, I tell you the truth, people begged me not to leave. I told everybody. I went out one day, I was looking out, shouting out and picking on you. And I come in that night, I told everybody, I said, I'm leaving tomorrow. I give away all my clothes, but my running clothes, because I could run. Mama used to say I could fly, you know. And I didn't run straight all the time. We had to run from snakes, long course whoops. And you don't run straight from a course whoop. If you did, they'll catch you, beat you to death, and stick their tail up your nose. Ooh. And you're dead. So that's the way I was running. When I took off, three shotgun was firing at me. I didn't run straight. I run ahead just like I run from them snakes and everything. So I run by the water all the way to Leesburg, Florida. I run by the water because I know the dogs couldn't track me by the water, you know. And jumped over alligators, you know. Everything that makes you run it. But I had told those guys before I left, I said, if I get out of here, because that road coming in there, over 2 miles, I said, there's a black-bodied bear on each side of that road. I said, if I get out of here, I said, I'm going to make sure that them bodies is dug up. You know, when I got back home, I told some mothers that had their children down there, I told them, what I was going to do to bring their children home, their bodies home, you know. And I reported that the FBI, they even met with the FBI and years ago, but I never was able to get nobody, the press, nobody to look into that, you know. You know, people say there's so much hate and so much prejudice and everything like that. And there's clues.
You were literally a runaway slave. Good God.
Yes, ma'am.
How did you end up in Oakland, Bishop?
God sent a ram in Dothan, Alabama, straight to me. Out of all the people that sent him straight to me. And I was in the, had been picking cotton. He gave me a free ride all the way to California. A soldier that had overstayed his time trying to get divorced from his wife. And he needed a driver to help drive back to California. He was stationed in Fort Ord in California. He wound up straight to me. He had a brand new Star Chief Kodak, three shades of brown. What a pretty thing that was. And I drove 75% of the way from Dothan, Alabama to California without a driver's license.
Oh, wow. God was certainly with you.
But don't bought it one day. If I ever get the money, I go back there. I'll pay somebody and take the press out there, somebody, and help dig up all them bodies out there. I know exactly how to go straight to them, you know. But a lot of people just don't want to do nothing that's good. There's a lot of Ku Klux Klan in America, and a lot of them is black. You know what I mean? A lot of them is, you know.
Black
Amos
race.
Brown, yep. On, yeah, Amos Brown on your board, okay? On your committee, and he's a Ku Klux Klan. He wouldn't even speak to me down there at the what you call it. He come over to my house and he was supervising, trying to get me take Willie Brown's name off that case, you know, that I had filed in San Francisco. Said I can't do that. And Jesse Jackson got mad with me, stopped talking to me because he said I'm suing Willie Brown. People are so ignorant of that. Willie Brown's name was on that case I filed in San Francisco because the railroad company's been frauding the city out of land and money, you know. That's when his case was there. They put the Giants parking all they cars now in San Francisco. The city on the property. But they paying Cotilla's rent, you know, for that property. It's rent now.
Right. So that's primarily your work is to hold the Port of Oakland and the railroad companies nationwide, which actually is a big part of what agency has been taking land, black people's land. Right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And the railroad company, they took over the Port of Oakland from the state, from the city, from all these all parts of the government. They run the port for 40 years. It was them that had the slaves cut down these 500 trees in the redwood trees in the Oakland Hills. And they had so much slavery. And over there in Bay Point, going to Richmond over there, they worked over 100 black men to death, killed them, working in the silversmith mine. They all died with lung cancer, 12 years old. And some of them was eight, high and low as 8 years old. But they could bring more kids out here than they could adults on the railroad company than they could. And and a guy like there's so much slavery with him, everything. John Brown, man that freed blacks in the South and everything. And a lot of black people like him because he freed slaves and everything like that. I know the history of that. Everything, but he was taking blacks different places, selling them. He was kidnapping them. Never wanted to go sell them. That's what he was doing in Alabama. Right in between 7 and 8 streets right here in Oakland, there was a dock there, a ship dock. And John Brown's ship used to park right there and everything.
Yeah.
And and they had a bidding post right there by when they get off and everything, where they put the slaves on that bidding post and bid the slaves off right there. Right. West of, and between 7 and 8 and everything. So,
I want to actually reiterate on that and focus specifically on that, because this a lot of young people have to understand this is not too long ago. So in Oakland, basically, even though slavery was abolished, so-called, in the 1850s to the 60s, that there were still active slave camps in Oakland and different parts of California. Is that correct?
Right. Well, when California became a state, you know, that's when it became a slave state. Now, that was the man, you know, doctor named William Leal. He owned all the waterfront property in San Francisco and Oakland, a black man. He was a doctor. He owned property at Mission Bay, what City Hall in San Francisco was built. He owned all that property then. He was a millionaire. He owned a lot of property in Sacramento, all right down Folsom Street. He owned that old Sacramento. He owned a gold mine in old Sacramento. He gave it to another young black guy, Black Bob. When you read about that, you read Black Bob. When people read that, they think it's Black Bob's. He's a white man. No, he's not. He's a black man. But the railroad people, they kill him too, because see, Folsom, he was the top general out here, and they killed this man. He died 38 years old, this doctor. He was a millionaire. His mother tried to get some of his money. She couldn't, because the government, they keep all of your money. You know, you couldn't leave nothing with your parents, nothing like that. When you die, they took all of his money and everything. So there's so much wrong with it. And there was a black senator here, William Leadoff. The black senator.
William Leadoff, okay. Mm-hmm.
William Leadoff, his daddy was Irish, and his mother was black, and he lived in Washington, D.C., and he was 14 years old before he went to school. He couldn't go to school in Washington, D.C., because he had to give his mother's information, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was 14 years old and moved to Washington, D.C., and that's when he first started school, when he was 14. He finished school, got his law degree, and come to San Francisco in the 1860s. Okay. And he wound up in California, a senator in California.
Mm-hmm.
And now he freed a lot of blacks. He went to bat for them and everything, because they were arresting some of the blacks in prison. You know, if they say you did something, you did it. You know.
Yeah, that's how they did, word of mouth. And just for FYI, our audience, listening audience, so they can know who we're talking about, William Leadoff, I believe, if you look at his history, they tried to wipe away the fact that he actually had a black mother. And correct me if I'm wrong, but when you look at it his biography, they say that he is from Irish immigrants, Irish parents, meaning that both of his parents were Irish, when in fact that his mother was black, correct? And they tried to hide that even in history before, after he was killed in a duel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have to take part in writing our own history. We really got to know the facts, and we're so grateful for people like Bishop Williams who lived that. And we have to preserve the generation of stories that these history books are not willing to document correctly. Leave it up to them. They'll erase us all together, right?
These white people, they don't want to bring out the truth. Hello?
Yes, sir. Right here, sir.
Willie Brown, he's a Ku Klux Klan. That man. See, he's the top attorney for all the railroad companies. Willie Brown.
Mm-hmm. Willie Brown.
The people, the Delaware Cooperation own all the railroad companies. And that's who I sued. From the case that I'm sending to you that I want to put back in court, okay? I'm sending you both cases, the one in Oakland, the one in San Francisco. But we just want to tell the truth, and we need an army of people to come together to witness the truth, what happened here, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what's going to make this case stronger, you know? And everybody was involved now, the police department. I want to sue the police department because there was a lot of people, black police killed a lot of blacks there after the earthquake. Okay, there was $1 billion. Hillary, you had some delinquents. I like to see them guys go to prison for what they did. They stole $1 billion from Oakland, West Oakland. The Federal Transportation sent that money down to the mayor for him to rebuild West Oakland where the freeway fell. But there was 80% blacks there at the time, okay? They stole the money. They used the money to go to the bank, and they built a Fruitvale BART station right there. Fruitvale BART station that they built it out there. Used $1 million out there.
Wow.
And this
audience will know about Fruitvale, a little history with Oscar Grant. Actually put Fruitvale on the map with his untimely death of assassination in that station.
Right.
So if you haven't seen that movie, you need to watch Fruitvale Station. Give you a little history of Oakland police. And
the mayor, Elihu Harris, he used two black guys out of his office, to do all the planning and everything. David Glover. Ed Blakely.
Right on. Well, Bishop Henry Williams, he has a nonprofit, the Kingdom Warriors Foundation, in which launching January. Bishop Williams, can you give our listening audience your contact number in case somebody wants to reach out and see how they can help push forth your reparations effort?
It's 510-992-0338.
It's needed. Okay, so if you want to support Bishop Williams and his efforts for reparations, and he's been at it, like he said, close to 50 years, so we have no excuse to be supportive.
Everybody working in reparations now. It's using material that I said, God bless me to plant the seeds, just like he blessed me to plant that cotton back in Alabama. That cotton. I've been planting reparation seeds for 20-some years to all the black caucus, the presidents, secretaries, and everyone. I went on there and met with Robert Newsom when he was the city councilman over in San Francisco and told him all about Willie Brown and what he did and everything. And I said, this case needs to go back to court because there's $1 billion owed to the city, you know.
Right.
He said that there's something he can do now. The governor, there's something
Absolutely.
He can do now.
Absolutely. So we want to just reiterate, so if anybody wants to support Bishop Henry C. Williams and his quest to complete, and we're almost there, Black family, to complete this reparations journey, please give him a call at 510-992-0338. That's 510-992-0338. And we have also our special guest as well, Trevor Palacio, who is working on documenting the historical
yes.
feats of Bishop Henry Williams. And so, Bishop Williams, is there any last comments that you'd like to give our listening audience of what we should do to support this reparations movement?
Yes, we stand and sisters too, you know. To me, I see it as so many black people that are fucking, you know, threatened, you know. A lot of people crazy. Jesus didn't be here. He threw me home. So then he doesn't tell the truth. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Tell the truth, shame the devil.
That's
all we got to do.
We got to reach out to guys. So many old people is afraid, you know.
Right.
I'm not afraid because the Bible is truth.
Can you repeat that again, Bishop? We lost you for a second. Said the Bible said what?
That truth shall make you free.
Right on. The truth shall set you free.
God bless you, and I love you. I enjoy myself. Listen. Okay?
Yes, sir. We are grateful to have
yes,
you.
Yes, ma'am. I would just like to say, following up on Bishop, Bishop says the truth shall set you free, but I want to quote an unknown author, and he said there's nothing comfortable about the truth. So the truth shall set you free on one hand, but there is nothing comfortable about the truth. There's no comfort. You won't find comfort in truth. But we will find liberation in truth, right? So in the words of Marcus Garvey, my president general, Akili Nkrumah, Universal Negro Improvement Association, African Communities League, we're going to be in Oakland, California, August the 15th through the 19th for our yearly convention. We're inviting everyone in the West, in the East, in the South to come to Oakland, California, break bread with us, and let's pursue more than reparations, because reparations is just one thing they owe us.
Right.
It's just one thing that we're owed. We're owed a whole lot more. And the main thing that we're owed, we actually owe it to ourselves, is to create black institutions. So don't be looking for a paycheck and it's a check that you're going to spend in the day. Make sure that the form in which you receive this is going to create legacy and generational wealth. What does that mean? That's what the question of the day is. How can we create generational wealth through this opportunity, and how do we maximize on what California is doing before we head to the East? Because it's a little backwards this time. Manifest destination was from the East to the West. But this reparations pursuit, the way Yahweh is working out, is from the West to the East, so we're all going back home. I say.
Could I say one more thing? Now, with this, Abraham, when he wrote this bill, Emancipation Proclamation, Martin Luther King spoke on in 1963, Washington, D.C. I have all the copies of that, okay? I'm sending you a copy. Emancipation Proclamation, all these things that's owed us, the land, the money, everything is in there. Emancipation Proclamation, Freeman B. Rowe. You know, everything owed to us is in there. Emancipation Proclamation, money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just talk about the reparations and other stuff. They don't talk about money we need to do the thing for us has been stolen from us.
That's right. That's right. And that's part of what we are seeking primarily is land, the land that was stolen, because without land, we can't build our institutions or housing or whatever our people need. So
my
definitely.
My mother's grandparents worked me step to the bone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right on.
You know, taking care of all the other people. The other people digging in land. When I was a boy, but my daddy had told me much. He was raised by a slave, ex-slave, his grandfather. His grandfather raised him. He told him all about the 1800 and what went on and what happened and everything. And he was a guitar player. And he called a set. You know how they have these cowboy movies?
Yeah.
See, cowboy music, when people dancing and somebody calling the set. That's what my grandfather did in slavery, okay? Black people the one that did the dancing and calling the set. The white people sitting on cooking, so they couldn't dance.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Still takes an effect today.
I don't lie.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to know more about your great-grandfather as well. So hopefully we can do a second part with that, because you have a lot of very important history nuggets.
Hollywood owns a lot of money. I like to do Hollywood. Making all these movies, be Western and everything. No black in the movie, no black in the picture. You know?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And so we'll be on our way for that. Want to sincerely say thank you. Hopefully you could stay remaining of the broadcast, but we want to sincerely thank you for the points that you make, the history that what you represent as far as really being a living legend. And so we want to support the last remaining months of reparations with, especially if you're in Oakland, to support Bishop Henry C. Williams and his efforts and really bringing closure. So if you are a civil rights or human rights international lawyer, that's primarily the assistance that Bishop Henry C. Williams requests to put all together. And Trevor, if you want to probably chime in on this documentary that you're shooting on Mr. Williams, and what is it going to entail, and what should we look for?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
We know there are a mixed multitude of reasons why we justify our reparations. And you live by it, you go on all the major and super highways. You are tuned in to every syllable of Black Power Radio. And all of these things, are, for whatever reason, they are connected to why we need full and complete reparations as well as our 40 acres and a mule where I land my mind.
That's right. It's going to soon be 80 acres and two mules. They keep playing around with us. It's going to be an increase of barterism. All right. Well, that being said, we relinquish the mic back to you, Imam. And then I don't know if our Queen Mother Beverly is on the line, but I wanted to iterate a very special happy birthday, Queen Mother Beverly Reese. Is going to be, I don't know, she'll want me to tell her age, but she'll be a fabulous 61 tomorrow, December 27th. So I wanted to take this time and dedicate to our Queen Mother Beverly Reese birthday tribute. There you go. Thank you.
shape. Behalf of all Panthers and everyone that loves and adore you, we want to say happy birthday to you tomorrow.
That's right. She was out with her family tonight, and we just wish her well, and we just happy to be associated with her and to have her in our association. Again, we say happy born day to you from the National Chairman's office and from all of the well wishers in the Black Panther Party, and all of those who are Black nationalists, Black Pan-Africanists, and all Black revolutionaries. Thank you so much for doing that for us, and thank you so much to Queen Mother Beverly Reese Lane. And there's so much going on tonight. We are happy to be able to make that announcement as well. Thank you, Sister Queen Mother, and the Dr. Critical L Race Truth Faith. Thank you tonight. All praise
all
to
right.
The Most Mother. Yes.
Right on. So with that being said, we do want to remind you that this is a few days left in the new year. And what exactly are your goals? So we want to take the time to have our people, part of the new Black Panther Party, for those to say what they would like to see, what their goals are for 2023, what do they hope to see for our people. And the mic is open to anyone. I want to just start off with, I want us to really focus on logistics and Black excellence in coming together consistently, because this war, Black family, is 90% mental and 10% physical. So it's not the other way around. We must be excellent in consistency and coming together and planning. Planning is very important. So if you're not able to, or if you're unable to, or you're unwilling to be part of at least the reparations movement, which is taking a stronghold, then be excellent in the neighborhood that you live in. Be politically sound. Continue to know your territory and create groups, Freedmen's Bureau. The Freedmen's Bureau, if you know the history of the Freedmen's Bureau, it was the only act of Congress back in 1850 where we had an official government for free men, for ex-slaves. But, of course, like everything else, it's been infiltrated. It's been distributed among non-blacks. It did everything for everybody else except for us. So that's the type of government that we are ultimately going to expedite. So the Freedmen's Bureau, do your research. The little bit of knowledge that we gain together will make a whole big difference when we actually come together. Okay, so I do think I do thank you for this journey. I do appreciate every single one of you, our listening audience, who's been supportive week after week, spreading the news of important data and what we really do need to focus on as Blacks. And I'm so eternally grateful for this position. But I do must say, that I do want to take this time to again say thank you to Sheikh Imam Akbar for the opportunity to even be in Minister of Justice Department, which justice and policy legislation is very important for our people. So I do want to say, I wouldn't say goodbye, but I do want to say farewell, that this will be my last broadcast in this form, and I hope to see you on a different platform. But this will actually be my last broadcast for Black Power Radio. And again, I am eternally grateful for the lessons that I learned. National Chairman has been a great leader in getting us to where we need to be. But the work must continue. And I want to see our other comrades continue to step up, come together. But I can never, ever thank Imam enough for the opportunity that he gave for me to even be in this position. So I thank you guys again for this journey, and we'll see each other again. But for now, Black Power Radio has been a great informative platform, and we need to continue to support it. And again, I thank you, my black, my beautiful melanated family, that this is not goodbye, but just temporary farewell. So with that being said, Black Power Radio, thank you, and God bless. Power to the people.
As we're saying, all power to the people, and thanking everyone and extending their vision, I think that Brother Ty's mic is open, and if he had a vision to share for the region of Spartanburg, state of South Carolina, region of the South, and and so forth, as he expands that vision, that he can give us more of his insightfulness of his intention as a state and regional chairman. Ty, are you there with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here. I want everybody to just open their eyes up a little more. That's all I want, and that's in this region and other regions around. Also, my intentions as the state chairman is to get the young black men to try and build a credit and try to learn how to obtain their own home so they can, you know, accommodate a family. And I want us all to continue to love one another and continue to educate ourselves. And, you know, that's long story short right there. Black power.
Yeah, sure.
Black power.
Black power and a great visionary, a great visionary. This is a great aspiration to follow in the footsteps of those that went before. If we go no further than the vision of Senator Clemente Pinckney, was just a great general, and I just don't know a better example of conduct that we could follow. And maybe not footstep by footstep, but in that spirit of self-determination of Senator Clemente. He never accepted no for we the people. He never accepted no. He said, yes, there's a way. Yes, we will find a way. We will make a way out of no way. And that's where we get much of what we're doing from that self-determination of Senator Clemente Pinckney. It was very few people worked with him. And there were nine people working directly with him, and he killed all nine of the people that were to carry out the completion of his vision, the fulfillment of his prophecy, for he did prophesize. We'll go further. We're going to pick up the next mic and open up the mic to Black Lightning and see what his vision is for the future. He is a National Minister of Defense right there in D.C. area. Let's see.
Black Power.
Has his hand up. Okay, Black Power.
Good evening.
Good
evening. We'll keep the light on.
Black Power.
Black Power. Keep the light on for us. Our beloved Sister Justice. Mm-hmm. We'll keep that light on. but a lot of things that a lot of things behind the scenes, you know, not always in the light, you know. We don't have to show our hand, you know. Sometimes you got to keep the aces, you got to keep the aces hidden. You know what I mean? Some people lay the cards on the table so there can't nobody be looking in the mirror behind you. You know? So, well, I do know that the letdown, they're eager for the letdown. So we're gonna have to stick with Sister Justice on this one. And do it the way that's actually going to work, you know what I mean? Because see, it's like if you don't get your way one way, then you go, you know, like say like in the justice system, and you go to the appeals, you appeal, you know, you just keep going, you know. But some people they don't want it to be appealed. They think we're not smart enough to appeal. Think okay. Deny him, and he's just gonna do what he usually do, you know, which is brick by brick, throw them all at you. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just saying, we just keep appealing until we get what we need, you know, and we keep buying land acquisition and 152 billion dollars, was a million, a billion in of misappropriated funds for the homeless. So we need to get on this. In each state, on our HUD representatives, on our city councils, the mayor, the governors, you know, like West Virginia Jim Justice, you know, and the city council members on down, you know. But I do know that they have all these renovated condos just for us. So when they want just us, they want just us. You know what I'm saying? So we have to watch how we move, you know. We can't show our hand all the time. So I'm just saying, I'm watching them watching us, and I'm watching us talk to them. Not us, but the ones that want to look like us and walk like us and call themselves us, but really ain't us. You know what I'm saying? So the ones with the one with the aging mindset, not necessarily the aging paycheck, but the mindset, you know? They're just eager to tell on themselves, you know? So eager to tell on themselves. Goodness gracious. Self-confessionals like a motherfucker. Help me. Please help me. We need all of our people to come on and get with this program and not be walking, talking robots for the system, because we do this for the babies. We do this for the people, you know. We do this for the like my brother Chairman was saying, for the future that we might have had, you know. So say they're gonna make it so that we don't have that future, you know. So that those Miss Keisha Tate's nine children, you know, where they could be on a baseball team or a softball team, being coached by our Chairman Todd, you know. So that's a team that he could have had, but no, yeah, they took that from us, you know, and now walk around free, you know. So it's good to know that we got some soldiers that's willing to come down on their asses. It's good to know that. But I just don't want them to tell them. That's all. But it's good to know that you take one of ours out, then suffer the consequences. There ain't gonna be no more marching and kumbaya and we shall overcome. No, you want them bricks thrown? Them bricks get thrown. You know what I'm saying? So you want me to show my hand? My hand is like this. Wrap the bricks in newspaper and then put lighter fluid on that shit. Now use your imagination. So no, I'm not going there. I'm gonna go the way Sister Justice told me to. I'm gonna put on a suit and a tie and go through the metal detector. I'm gonna walk up. I'm gonna look the mayor dead in his eyes. It's an HR 40. We ain't playing with you, and we will get it by any means necessary within the confines of the law. You got to throw that at their asses, too, you know, so they don't try to trap us with our words. That's what they're good at nowadays. They're very good at trapping us with our words, you know. It's like, say, man, you ain't shit. You know, said, man, fuck you. He said, well, what you going to do about it? And then they turn on the goddamn recorder. That's what the fuck they do. They turn on the recorder. So, no, we ain't going to talk about it. We're going to be about it. That's what's up, you know? And I always want to, like, we are trying to get a bus or a van or something to for the mobilization of the troops. And we need that. So hit them all. Hit them up. I said $77Bakers and recruit on up. At cruiser7000@gmail.com. Shoot us an email so you can recruit on up. This army way bigger than they think, you know, because all our soldiers ain't going to be on here. All of our soldiers ain't going to show their hand, and then some of our soldiers is like break glass in time of war. So you see them then, you know what I'm saying? Saying we fight for who? We fight for the people, you know? You can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill a revolution. And I am, what? A black revolutionary, you know? So I just say keep, yeah, I am. What?
A black revolutionary.
Black revolutionary. Harambe.
I am.
And I'm even, I am. A black revolutionary. And I ain't not a happy slave. You know, and like Dr. Collins showed that fire, he showed that strength, he showed that lion, you know, and they got scared when they saw that lion, you know. So sometimes it's good to let them know that, yeah, we're a pack of lions over here, you know. So what you do to the sheep ain't going to work with the lions. You keep that shit to the sheep. And guess what? Now the lions are fighting on behalf of the sheep, you know, of our people that's a sheep, of our people that's went through the times like the brother that was just on that saw them freedmen bureaus, that saw them slavery times, that saw them whip masters. Speaking of whip masters, don't think that he didn't send a few black folks from the, some of them house Negroes that was dressed just like the master, had the master's boots on, and it was probably related to him, for real. You know, he's riding a horse, and he whipped harder. Matter of fact, we got him now. He had him on the police department. They whip their own harder so that they can be approved by the oppressor. They want to be approved by the oppressor so bad, so they'll whip each other harder. Say, see there, see master. Say, I'm not taking it easy on them, you know. So them brownie points ain't gonna be counted as when it's all said and done, you know. And I just say that as an example because there's people out here in the world right now that's trying to get brownie points from a man. And they forgot how to fight for the people, you know. They stand in front of the camera, they take a photo out, and they forgot what we're doing this for. Not doing this for no photo op. Not doing this for a popularity contest. I'm sure I'm unpopular as hell. I don't give a damn. I'm here as the National Minister of Defense, meaning that I will walk the line, hold the line, toe the line, and burn the goddamn line down if I need to protect the line. You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't mean burn the line. Let me clarify this for y'all. What I'm saying is if they want to get in the circle of fire with us, there ain't no getting out. We make a guy make a gasoline fire around us, you know? Say, come on in. We're right here. We ain't going nowhere. We can't go nowhere. We got a gasoline fire around us, you know? So anyway, we keep it real, 100 all the time, you know. So I've been posting up my vehicle to show everybody that deer, he did better than my car did. You know, my car ran pow, straight into that deer. We made it out. The deer made it out, but the car didn't. So now I got to figure out another way to pick up the comrades. So there's other comrades out here. Some of them don't have vehicles. But they're willing to go, and I'm willing to go get them and put them on the line, black boots on the ground. So hit them up. We need that vehicle money to be put into Cash App, here we go again, $77Bakers. And I'm not shaking a cup. It's like, hey, y'all want, like Brother Ty said, if y'all want us to get to you, we got to have vehicles, we got to have food, we got to have gas. Now, when I was just looking for gas, I ain't asked for that much. But right now, looking for a vehicle. And not for a vehicle for me. This is going to be a Black Panther vehicle. A black. I'm really got my eyes set on a Black Panther bus. A big black bus just for us. You know what I'm saying? So hit us up. Hit us up on the Cash App. I don't mean to be too adamant or animated, but I'm going to try to show some aces without showing my whole hand. You know what I'm saying? I can, sometimes you get more flies with honey than you do a lump of shit, you know? But then sometimes, you know, whatever works, you know? So if we can get our way with a lump of shit, we go that way too. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to offend nobody. And happy birthday to Queen Mother Beverly, I'm sure you might be somewhere listening to this. Happy birthday to you. So Black Power, y'all, and we're holding the line. Hold the line. What else can I say about this? Except Dr. Collins said the destruction that they did to us was the most massive, undescribable, worst catastrophe that they could ever do, which is Mayava. And then they did it on purpose. Mayava, Mizo. So they did this shit to us on purpose, the worst possible way that they could possibly do it. And that's what they're still doing, except for they're doing what I just said. They ain't showing their whole hand. What they do is they come over the city, and you see what they're doing. They're laying down those chemtrails. They're laying down chemtrails. And I noticed that some places where black population, they're like extra chemtrails. Why? Because there's poison in them damn chemtrails, you know? I mean, come on. Some of us know what bioengineering is, you know? When they got this, when they're shooting out fiberglass, first of all, it's fiberglass that they're shooting into the system. It's laced with lead and barium. Now, I don't know if y'all was listening when Dick Gregory said that barium, they have a barium factory, I forgot exactly where, but it's like another country, Austria somewhere. But again, that has, where they have the barium factory is the worst murder rate in the whole world. And as Dick Gregory said, that barium will make you kill your mama. So they shooting barium mixed with lead into fiberglass, and they're shooting it over. I don't see them shooting it over them white neighborhoods like that. You know, I see crop dusters and stuff like that, but I don't see as many lines in the sky. And believe me, we travel from coast to coast, so we liable to see all the skies. You know, and that's in disguise. So anyway, I'll land my plane on Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Told us all from the get-go, bring your God and your goddamn gun, and I'm not a happy slave. So from here on, they got what Dr. Collins said they were going to get. They weren't going to give them hell from the cradle to the goddamn grave. Black Power, I'm out. I'm still here, though. Ain't going nowhere. And I'm watching. Black Power.
Black Power, thank Black Biden for his contribution here at Black Power Radio on such a new occasion, flipping the new year, flipping from old habitations and bringing in new productive habitations to abandon all forms of non-productivity and all bad habitations. As we formulate new habitations, we want to keep the vision of Black Revolution alive and we the people. And we want to fight with our self-determination against our vicious enemies to win the war of the between the nations, between the melanations, the war. This is the war of the melanations. And we'll get back to non-melanated versus the melanated nations. And we will land on that. Though someone may have a spiritual word of guidance to close for us tonight. And we sure will look forward to that if you're there.
Right on, right on. Definitely, this is a spiritual battle, warriors. We cannot go on the boots on the ground without having stability spiritually. So the Most High that we serve, we must always keep righteousness in check. So I'd like to read a final Bible verse. And this is a verse that is well used. Many of the points that it makes concerning how we need to move forward in love, in patience, and in kindness, but more importantly, in righteousness. So if you are listening, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast, or it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, not self-seeking, or not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. Love never fails, for where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, there will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For if we know in part, and we prophesy in part, when the completeness comes, the part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we only see a reflection, as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and I shall fully know that Yeshua is Lord. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so, Black family, let us not take for granted what our position and our purpose is. We must, in the next 6 days, fast and pray. It's only a week for us to usher in 2023 with a new sound mind. Come together, for real, for God has given us already 3 years from 2019. He gave us the keys to the city. But yet we have missed the call, and the keys are still waiting. There's a blueprint that one must follow. In Habakkuk 2, verse 2, the Lord tells us that write our plan and make it plain so others can run with it. If the plan is written and no one's running with it, does it really serve a purpose? So we must, Black family, do better by ourselves. Other nations, other races, they know the value of who we are as the original man, as the creation of the Most High. And as Adam and Eve are our earthly father and mother, our heavenly Father is the one that has it all. So study, Black family, study it well. So here will be the blueprint for 2023. We have a weekly meeting, leadership meeting, every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard. If you'd like to join this meeting and put your plan to action, as you see, reparations is the forefront of what we Panthers are in front of. We are going to write policy
and implement legislation. An anti-black hate crime bill is not easy to come up with. But there are a group of people, black family out here, that's working on behalf of our family. It is our due diligence to support what we need to do in order to make it happen. So with that being said, if you want to join the meeting on Sunday and put your part in leadership, give us a call at 1-866-548-0521. That's 1-866-548-0521. And say, I want to be part of the change makers, the doers and the shakers. And I'm the national chairman, Sheikh Imam Akbar. There is no one that God has put forth to lead us in the promised land. So to you, Tahaka Bey, Tariq Nasheed, Nucci X, Dr. Umar, Ken Ivey, just to name a few, Kanye, Kyrie, LeBron. We all need to come together, Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart. We request for you to use your resources to bring reparations to a closure. This is a public demand. This is a requirement. And so with that being said, Black Power Radio will always be the location to find the most informative news that you won't find anywhere else. So let's get on board in 2023, Black Soldiers. We have yet to win the fight, and we're almost there. All power to the people.
All power to the people, and always use the phrase of don't give up the fight from our superhero Bob Marley. And for all of those that are celebrating in his legacy, and this is their time of rejuvenation, jubilation, and a time for celebration. And as we celebrate the life of the Messiah, I think it's a great way to put it. For my money, I do it every year in that spirit. And I'm contrary to anything outside of what we know. We all know it's the reality of the Messiah, and I will leave it there and do the work that you saw the Messiah doing, and you'll be doing a righteous Panther effort. And thank you, and hope that your year and this upcoming year will make you successful in all your endeavors. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. And Black Power. Black Power and power to we the people. Black Power. And we know our man always is the best. Power to people, Marvin Gaye is
Someday when your head is much lighter. things to be brighter.
There've been so many things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know.
Thank you. Okay.